just remain standing. Amen. I don't believe it'll be long. We're out to see Him. I believe He's going to come and rescue His children. Amen. And looking forward to that day. Amen. I want to see Him in this service. Amen. That ought to be our goal and desire to come, not to see who's here or even to see what happens, but to meet with the Lord. And I do appreciate that song and the truth of it. Amen. Amen. All right. Matthew chapter number 7. Continuing our study of the Sermon on the Mount. We're winding her down. I mentioned last week that those verses there that we used last week, verses 13 and 14, I believe are the introduction to the conclusion. And I turned the wrong one on. There we go. Amen. Thank you. I mentioned that last week that was the introduction to the conclusion. So we're in the final portion. And I believe all of this rest goes together. I really believe the whole sermon goes together, but this in particular comes into the sewing up and bringing together of the thoughts on it. And I trust that it'll be helpful to you as we begin these verses this morning. We're going to look at verse number 15. Verse number 15, read down through verse number 20. And look at these verses if we can. Amen. Brother, can you give me a little bit more volume on this so I can hear myself? That'll help me just a little bit better. There you go. And appreciate that. Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 15. The Bible says, "Beware of false prophets." That's really what I'm going to preach on this morning. "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening and wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Lord's day.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes. Help us, Lord. Yes. Help us, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Well, this section that we read here is an entire paragraph, verse 15 through 20. It's the next paragraph in our Lord's Sermon on the Mount. And it naturally follows the two verses that preceded it, which were their own paragraph, dealing with the two paths of life. We spoke about that last Sunday in the morning and the evening. And going to continue the thought, bringing it into this thought this morning, because I believe that it's relevant. But he mentions these two paths, one that leads the majority of people, by the way, and it leads them to destruction. The other leads a small minority of the people, but it leads them unto life, it says. Amen. And so he gives us here the fact that there's two ways to go, and you're on one path or the other. That's the point that he's making. And he tells us to enter in verse number 13. In other words, you better get on the right path. Now, so he verses 13 and 14 talk to us about the path that deceptively leads people to destruction. Now he's going to begin talking about people that deceptively lead people to destruction. And I believe that it's a natural follow that follows the reason of our Lord. Matter of fact, all of chapter number 7, he has been in this train of thought. Look back at verses 1 through 5, you'll notice that he begins verse 1, judge not that you be not judged. And he goes down there talking about how that you judge. You're going to be judged. And be careful. You're trying to get the mote out of your brother's eye and you've got a beam in your own. And so he warns, our Lord warns his disciples of the dire need for discernment. Speaking about the danger of preconceived judgment, the danger of prejudiced judgment. And he warns against judging others while having something blinding our own vision. By that blinding instrument, we cannot be a help to anybody else. That's the point that he's making. We cannot possibly help others when we have that blinding instrument in our own eye. Then he goes to verse number 6, and he warns us not to give that which is holy to the dogs. And neither cast ye your pearls before the swine. And so he warns us of the danger of those that do not value holy things. Those that have a beastly nature within themselves still in their breast. He moves on in verse 7 through verse number 12 to talk about the strong recommendation for prayer. We need wisdom as to how to properly discern these things. We need wisdom in order to walk the right path. We need wisdom, and we need to go to our Heavenly Father to get that wisdom that we might be able to give to others that which they need. He ends up those verses talking about a man giving his son. When his son asks something, he gives him something good. He doesn't give him something bad. We need wisdom in order to direct people in the right way he's dealing with. All right? And then he brings that dividing line in verse number 13 and 14. The dividing line of the truth from our Lord. And those who deny themselves, take up their cross and follow the Lord Jesus, following His way of truth, are on the pathway of life. Those that reject the way of truth, those that refuse to deny themselves and refuse to follow Christ and choose to indulge in their sins and the pleasures that they have loved so long, are still on the broad way. That's what he says. That leads to destruction. Amen. Now, let me point out by way of introduction that this wide gate with its broad way allows travelers who have large beams in their eyes to stumble along and keep going their way because it's such a broad way. They go along unhindered. They go along unbothered by that beam that's in their eye. But those on the narrow way, even a little mote irritates them. Amen. Because they need to be able to see plainly. They need to be able to see clearly because that way is so narrow and that way is so hard to find. Even he said, few there be that even find that way. And so that traveler on the narrow way is interested in asking somebody to get that mote out of their eye. They're interested in helping others that might have a mote in theirs get the mote out of their eye as well, that they might clearly see to travel along that narrow way. Amen. But since those who seek to travel the narrow way are aware that it is such a straight and narrow path, thus it is hard to find. It's even harder to enter that narrow way. Amen. They are very quick, perhaps, to seek someone to help them along that way. Here's the danger. Our Lord says, you're looking for help? Be careful who you ask for help. You're looking for help? Be careful who you trust in giving you the directions for help. Amen. Recently, when we were in Oklahoma, Brother Bale knows these folks pretty well. And Brother, on the Saturday of the meeting, Saturday was their biggest day. And after they had a morning service, and after the morning service for lunch, they was taking everybody to the Golden Corral. The church was paying everybody going to Golden Corral. Praise God. Amen. And there you go. And I felt like blessing the Lord. Amen. But But as they were talking about going, and of course we didn't know our way. We was going to have to follow somebody. Brother Herbert called on Brother Glenn. He said, Brother Glenn, you come up and tell them directions. And so he started telling them, but he left out several turns when he started. And so somebody spoke up and said, you forgot about such. Oh yeah, he said, go down that road and turn right and go on another road and turn left. And they said, wait a minute, you forgot another road. And he backed up and forward and backed up and forward, and he did that two or three times. And I'm sure nobody there could follow his directions. Nobody. And it was just the fact that he knew the way probably so well that he didn't have to think about it. So when it comes time to tell somebody, you know, it's hard to tell them what street and how many lights and all this kind of stuff. But here's my point. There's a lot of people telling people how to get to heaven, and they don't have the slightest clue themselves how to get there. And so our Lord warns with this additional and explicit warning. He says, beware of false prophets. Now, those are the words I'm going to deal with this morning, and I expect this will be something we'll return to a few times, to be honest with you, because there's a lot said here, and it'd be be very good for us if we'd study it and get to see what he's talking about here. But a false prophet is somebody that is not on the narrow way and yet portrays themselves and pretends as if they are on that narrow way. Matter of fact, they portray themselves and pretend that they're able to point others to the narrow way, even though they themselves are not on that road. Amen. They're steering them the wrong way all the while. This admonition of our Lord is so pronounced. He makes it, uses the strong word beware. That means look out. That's the idea that it means. Look out. Be alert. Be awake. Be aware. So he says beware. It's a pronounced statement. And it's so pertinent for today. It fits today. As I said, I expect we'll look at this for multiple messages. But I'd like to impress on you these four words that begin our Lord's statement in verse 15. Beware of false prophets. A.W. Pink said this. He said, having described most solemnly and searchingly the way of life like a faithful guide, Christ went on to warn us against one of the chief impediments in walking in that way. Namely, false guides. Those who, under the pretense of offering us divine directions, therein will fatally deceive us if we give heed thereto. In every age, but never more so than in our own, multitudes of gullible souls have been allured into the broad road that leads to destruction by men professing to be teachers of the truth and ministers of Christ, yet who had not His Spirit and who were none of His, blind leaders of the blind, who with their dupes both fall into the ditch. Those are the words of Pink. I say amen. He said it right. Now these false prophets that our Lord's speaking of come from a myriad of different and diverse angles. Perhaps it's a preacher in the pulpit. That's what we primarily think of, and that's what we're going to look at. But it could be a Sunday school teacher in the class. It might even be a mother or a father in the home, just giving wrong advice. It might be a school teacher, a friend on the job, a college professor, or a popular actor or sports hero on the television or in a magazine. But what all these have in common is that they claim to be pointing us in the right way, when in truth they're not even on the right way. I said some time ago about this Me Too movement thing that Hollywood started pushing, and it seems to have somewhat sizzled, although the premise behind it needs to be said, but this is what I said. I don't need Hollywood preaching morals to me. I believe that's right. Amen. Hollywood knows nothing about morals. Matter of fact, the majority of that crowd that's been guilty and will be found guilty, a lot of them never even been charged yet. They've just been accused. That's why we've got to be careful with some of that. Amen. And the Bible that said our law says a man is innocent until not accused until proven guilty in a court of law. And it says he has the right to face his accusers. That's another thing, by the way. Amen. In a lot of this case, they're just accusations made anonymous. Suggestions made, and people follow up, and men lose their jobs. And right now it's on men, but mark her down, it'll not only be men, there'll be women that'll fall into the same trap and the same problem. But the problem is Hollywood has promoted that kind of filth and that kind of mess all their life. I mean, that's what Hollywood's about. That's what Broadway's about. That's what the theater is about. Amen. And then they're going to come and wag their finger at us and tell us the right way to go. I doubt it. They don't even know the right way to go. They're not on the right way. Well, the thing is, they claim to be pointing us to the narrow way when in truth, they themselves are on the broad way and can never lead us to the narrow way. If you're following somebody, that's what we did there in Oklahoma. And there's a lot of turns between the house we stayed in with those folks and where the church was. I mean, a lot of turns, a lot of lights and twists and turns and one thing and another. And I just followed them. And one of the things you do a lot of times when you follow somebody, you don't pay attention to the road signs. You don't pay attention to the landmarks like you would if you was having to figure it out for yourself. But when you're following somebody, here's the point. If you keep following them, you're going to end up where they end up. So if this crowd, these false prophets he's talking about, are on the broad way and they're telling you they're leading you on the narrow way, you keep following them, you're not going to end up on the narrow way. You're going to end up on the broad way and the destruction where the broad way ends that he talks about there. Amen. And so no matter who it is, whatever the case is, what's a preacher in the pulpit, a Sunday school teacher in the class, a school teacher in the class, a professor in the college, a mom or dad in the home, a friend, whatever the case is, when you listen to somebody's advice, be careful whose advice you listen to. We need to beware of them and beware of their advice. Amen. Now, we live in a time when information can be easily attained. We got information at our fingertips today. Amen. The technology of our day, we have a massive amount of information being directed at us. You don't even have to be looking for it. It's like it's looking for you. Amen. With the technology that we have today. But how reliable is that information? That's what our Lord's talking about here. Amen. Now I'll say this, cults and false religions seem to be expanding at a rapid pace, and they're glad to take advantage of the technology. And by the way, I think we ought to take advantage of the technology. I'm thankful that God has blessed us. Be honest with you, the little radio station we have compared to the massive stations of the world, we've got some technology that a lot of them don't have. Amen. We've got the internet information that we got. We've got the writing. I don't know what you call that, Brother Steve. Can tell you what all that stuff is. That tells you what the song is and who's singing it. All that kind of stuff. I've listened to big stations that don't have that kind of stuff. We've got great opportunity, and I thank God we've got the app on the phone. Amen. We've got all kinds of things that can be done, and taking advantage of that technology, I think that's wise and it's well to do. But I'm saying there's a whole lot out there that you can get information. You better be careful who you listen to. How reliable is that information? Now, I could talk about a lot of things. I could talk about Hinduism, Buddhism. I could talk about shamanism, on and on. I'm talking about all kinds of extra religions that have nothing to do even with the name Christianity. Or I could talk about those in the name of Christianity. Catholicism and Mormonism and Jehovah's Witness. And I could go on and on and on and talk about the false religions you get caught up in. But I want you, you've even got to be careful when you try to look up old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, King James only, soul-winning Baptists. Amen. Amen. Be careful and examine them by the Word of God. Amen. Examine them by the Word of God. I'm going to say something about that in just a minute, but let me back up and say this before I go there. I know we're living in a day, in a time, we've got a generation that thinks that everybody before them was idiots. They're the only smart ones. Amen. And they think everybody behind them was foolish. Everybody behind them had no sense. And so they reject all their quote-unquote culture. They reject all the teachings of society behind them. I'm telling you, that is not wise. That is not wise. When God has blessed somebody to have lived years beyond your years that you've lived, you'd be wise to learn from some of their information. Amen. And especially when it's cumulative information that has been gathered together over the years and that has been passed down, you'd be wise to listen to some of that. Amen. Amen. But I want to talk about this morning, and I don't have an agenda other than what our Lord said, and try to deal with this thing about being careful of false prophets, even in the name of Independent Baptists. Even in the name. There's a group that calls themselves Faithful Word Baptists. They have the slogan. Here's their slogan. Old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, King James only, soul-winning Baptist. But they are not faithful to the Word of God. I wrote down some things they deny. They deny repentance. They deny Holy Ghost conviction. They deny that Christians are made new creatures in Christ Jesus at salvation. They deny Israel's place as God's chosen people. They deny, this is not biblical, but this is historic. They deny Hitler's Holocaust of World War II ever happened. They deny the pre-trib rapture of the saints of God. Amen. Amen. They're led by a man who is making disciples unto himself, I believe, and to his pride, rather than followers of Christ or followers of the Bible. I declare, and I believe it's right, this is a false cult led by a false prophet. Amen. He has hundreds of thousands, possibly over a million followers on their YouTube videos. But he never warns sinners to repent. Amen. I wrote it this way. He never warns sinners to repent, and if they are never convicted of their sins by the Holy Ghost, they just trust his clever and polished, repeated, quote-unquote, soul-winning prayerism. They are not getting off the Broadway. As a matter of fact, they're told they never must get off the Broadway. They're told they can continue on, just repeat this, believe this, and you'll be all right if you just do that. Matter of fact, they are being misled. Amen. They're being misled. They deny that they must get off the narrow way. They're promised that they are somehow magically transported onto the narrow way just by believing the selected verses and by this slick salesmanship verbiage. Amen. Matter of fact, he even warns them, by the way, of even doubting, of ever doubting what he has said. Don't ever doubt it, that you've believed what he said. Our Lord says, you better doubt it. Our Lord says, beware of false prophets. Amen. Here's what I believe. I don't think that everything that's polished is necessarily wrong. But I believe that a whole lot of what's wrong is polished. To look brilliant. To look bright. To look fascinating. These false prophets that our Lord speaks of here do not necessarily have to be a religious leader. They do not necessarily have to be a preacher. They only need to be leading or actually misleading others in the religious realm. Amen. There are some men who don't even claim to be preachers. And they're leading others in religious thinking, religious dogma. They are religious leaders. I think the prominent character that our Lord is dealing with here, because he uses the phrase prophets. Now, he's in the New Testament. He's in the New Testament. Prophets are Old Testament. Is that not right? There's no prophets today except false prophets. Amen. Now, I understand the word prophet. There's prophecies in the New Testament, and he said they will end. They will cease. along with those other gifts that were originally given to the church. We read about it particularly in the book of Acts and in the early epistles. We read about those gifts that those people had that were extraordinary gifts that God gave them. One was for a sign to the Jews that made up the large majority of what was in the church there. Amen. In those early days. But He said they'll come to us. It's when that which is perfect is come. That's talking about the Bible. When the Bible's completed. Well, it's completed today. We don't need new visions of prophecy. New words of prophecy. Amen. We have it all in the King James Bible. Amen. But our Lord used the word prophet because these people and us as well would recognize a prophet as a religious leader. This is somebody primarily dealing with religious things, and yet they are false. Turn with, I'm going to show you a lot of verses, but if you'll turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 13. Probably a very well-known verse. We'll look at some others in a moment. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 13. There have been down through the years false prophets. And there will be many more. He says in verse number 13. But evil men. He's talking about the last days now. If you see that in verse number 1. This know also then of the last days. So verse 13 says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. What are they doing worse and worse? Deceiving and being deceived. It's one thing for a man, for example, to commit adultery. It's another thing for him to teach that it's all right to commit adultery. That's deceiving and being deceived. It's one thing for somebody to be a sodomite. It's another thing for them to teach that it is all right to be a sodomite. I could go on. It's one thing to hate and have anger and vitriol in your heart. It's another thing to teach that it's all right to do those things. False prophets waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Turn to Jeremiah chapter number 5. And I want to show you that in the Old Testament there was a number of false prophets. Our Lord had much to say about it. But I'm going to look primarily here in Jeremiah. And then we'll go to Ezekiel in a moment. Jeremiah chapter number 5. Numerous false prophets in Israel in the Old Testament days. Here's an example. Chapter 5 verse number 30. And 31. Jeremiah 5:30. A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? He said, there's prophets that prophesy falsely. Amen. What they're saying is not true. It's incorrect. Turn to Jeremiah 14. Jeremiah 14. How do you gauge whether it's true or not? Not by the crowd that follows them. Not by how polished their message is. You gauge it by the Word of God. Jeremiah 14, verse 13 through 16. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. By the way, notice these false prophets prophesied peace, not destruction. Keep going the way you're going. Nothing bad's going to happen. You've repeated this prayer. Keep going the way you're going. Nothing bad's going to happen. You believe these words. That's what they prophesied. Look at verse number 14. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. God never called them, and God never sent them. Their message did not come from God. Look at verse number 15. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and and I sent them not, yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed. Amen. God said these false prophets that prophesied peace and destruction are not going to come. They're going to taste of that very destruction that they denied was going to come. Look at verse 16. And the people, he don't leave them off. The prophets were wrong, and the people that followed them are wrong. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword, and they shall have none to bury them, their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters, for I will pour their wickedness upon them. God said these people that believed and followed these false prophets who prophesied peace and not destruction are going to face destruction nonetheless. Why? Because of their wickedness. That's the word he used. They didn't repent of their sin. They never turned from their sin. They're still on the broad road, even though they told them it's going to be all right now. Amen. I'll say this, and I'm going to go ahead and turn to Jeremiah 23. While you turn there, I'll say it. Brother Steve talked this morning about Elijah. Elijah is the premier prophet of the Old Testament. When you think of a prophet, I was talking to Brother Hall about, when you think of a prophet, you think of Elijah. You know Elisha did twice as many miracles as Elijah did. But nobody ever came in the spirit and the power of Elisha. Right. It's always in the spirit and the power of Elijah. He is the eminent prophet. He is recognized, and Brother Steve brought it out this morning, because he came out of nowhere, but it really wasn't out of nowhere. It was from the presence of the Lord. And he showed up like a bolt of lightning. Boom! There he was, and then he was gone. But the effects still rumbled in the heavens. Amen. And the power was felt on the earth. Here's what he said, and I read this, Brother Steve touched it. He said to Ahab about the Lord, before whom I stand. He touched on that, before whom I stand. I read this week. I don't remember who I read it. One of the commentators, I never thought. They said if they're standing before God, that means they got God behind them. You want to know what's backing up these words, he said? I've got God backing up these words. I've got God behind me. What have you got behind you, Baal? What have you got behind you, some man's promise? That's what he's asking. What have you got behind you that's backing up your words? Elijah was a servant of God. That idea of standing before the Lord also has an idea of standing as a servant. I move at His beck and call. These are not my words. These are not my ideas. These are the words of the Lord, and I'm trying to help somebody with them. That's what he's saying. Amen. Jeremiah chapter number 23, verse number 14. And I read down through verse number 17. Try to do it without comment. In verse 14, I have also seen in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery. Talking about prophets now doing that. Commit adultery and walk in lies. And strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. That's where we get the word repent. They're against it. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets. Behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his heart, no evil shall come unto you. You notice what he said? They said, you can keep on hating God, and God's not going to judge you. You can keep on walking the broad way. You don't have to get off the broad way. You don't have to lay down your weapons against God. You don't have to submit to God. You just go on like you're going. Just repeat this. Just believe this, and you'll be all right. They're lying prophets. That's what he said. He said, don't pay attention to them. Don't give heed to them. Amen. One more place in Ezekiel chapter number 22. Ezekiel chapter number 22. Verse number 25. All right, still in the wrong place. 22, I'll get there. All right, Ezekiel 22, 25. There is, by the way, these are the words of God that came to him. Verse 23 tells it. Verse 25, here's what God said. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. Sounds like them ravening wolves, don't it? They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. He said the prophets have made up a deal and they're working their own deal. Look down at verse number 28. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord God hath not spoken. They're saying these are God's words, but they're misusing God's words. That's what he's saying. They're not being faithful to God's word. They're not faithful to God themselves. Therefore, they're not faithful to God's words. They use his words as a crutch to keep on doing what they want to do. And he said, don't pay any attention to them. He said they've daubed them with untempered mortar. You know what that means? They're trying to build with a concrete that won't set. They're trying to build with something that don't hold together. It don't have the cohesive power it's supposed to have. One of the major factors of Israel in their suffering and their destruction was the lying prophets that polluted the land. Amen. The lying prophets that polluted the land and them that defiled the doctrines of God. Their dangerous deception repeatedly promised good things are going to happen. I like when Micaiah, you remember when the king called for Micaiah? He said, is there not a word from the Lord, a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire? I mean, they had all these prophets and they was prophesying good things, and he said, is there not a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of? And he said, well, there's one, but I hate him. I hate him. Why do you hate him? Because he's so intolerant. Ahab said, he never says anything good about me. If you could say something good about Ahab, I'd worry about you. When they went to get old Micaiah, they said to him, the prophets that went with him said, now we're all prophesying in one accord. Don't you mess up what we're doing. We've got a conspiracy going. Amen. Don't you mess up what we're doing. You prophesy something good. And Micaiah said, I can only say, and I'm paraphrasing of course, but he said, I can only say what God tells me to say. This is our boundary. The Bible. When we get out of the Bible, we might have some good opinions, but out of the Bible, they're worthless. Amen. Well, they kept promising good things were going to happen, even though the people refused to repent of their sin, but that did not stop the judgment of God from coming. Matter of fact, it hastened it on. Amen. Now, our Lord frequently warned. Go back to Matthew 7 and verse 15. Our Lord frequently warned about the danger of false prophets. Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets, which come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening and wolves. Turn to Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 11. He's dealing with the last days now in chapter 24. Matthew 24, verse 11. These are the words of our Lord. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Who's on that Broadway? Many there be that go in thereat. Turn over to verse number 24 of chapter 24. Jesus said, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Mark chapter number 13 and verse number 22 repeats practically that same statement. Mark chapter 13 and verse number 22. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. So our Lord said at least four times in Matthew and Mark, false prophets are coming. And you better beware of them. You better be aware, and you better stay away from them. Paul warned of the same thing. Peter warned of the same thing. John warned of the same thing. These apostles of our Lord. Turn to Acts chapter number 20. You'll see the warning of the apostle Paul. Acts chapter 20. And verse number 29. Acts chapter 20, verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember. And he goes on talking about how he warned them from house to house. So, the Apostle Paul was saying, there's going to be false prophets arise. Turn to Romans chapter number 16. I'm just giving you some scriptures that show the warning again and again. False prophets in the Old Testament, false prophets in the New. And it's going to get worse. Acts 16 verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Amen. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Amen. He says, mark them. They're spreading doctrines contrary to the doctrine you learned. By the way, if you got saved, it wasn't the words you said. It wasn't the man that was quote unquote leading you. It was the fact you had a conference with God. Somewhere in the line you came face to face with God, and God always deals with sin. He never refuses to deal with sin. Whether it's a woman at the well, whether it's Nicodemus at night, whether it's Zacchaeus up a tree, wherever it is, he's going to deal with sin every time. You came face to face with God, God dealt with your sin. When a man says you don't have to do it that way, he's preaching doctrine contrary to what you got in on. He's preaching doctrine contrary to the Bible, and Paul said, mark them. Why? They're drawing a following after themselves. Amen. Paul went on to warn the Galatians, and I'm going to turn there, about those that preached another gospel, which he said is not another. In other words, it's not a real gospel, is what he's talking about. 2 Peter, one more right here. 2 Peter. Boy, this one comes real plain. 2 Peter chapter number 2. By the way, I had a man say to me years ago, I was preaching along these lines on the radio in Wilkesboro, and I referenced Billy Graham. I called him a false preacher. That's while he was living. And a man came on the radio after me. I think he was Pentecostal. Might have been, he was some, you know, in that vein. And he came on after me. And matter of fact, when he came up the steps, I preached live and he did too. And when he came up the steps, I could tell he was mad or in a hurry. And I didn't know that it was me, but I was listening to the radio going home. And he got on there and raked me over the coals. One thing he said, I should never have mentioned Billy Graham. He said, until I'd won as many souls as Billy Graham had won. Secondly, he said, until I'd talked to him personally. I shouldn't brought it up, in front of others till I talked to him personally about the issue. And so the next Sunday, when I got done with my program, I told him I'd like to talk with him a minute. And this is what I told him. I said, I appreciate you, you know, trying to straighten me out. You thought that I was in the wrong. But I said, let me just tell you this. Paul rebuked Peter. And at the time, Peter had preached on the day of Pentecost. And as far as I know, won more souls than Paul had. Paul's just a young Christian. But he rebuked Peter and Barnabas and the Jews for the disseminating with the Jews and destroying the doctrine to the Gentiles. Paul rebuked them. Why? Because he had the Bible behind him. Because Peter was in the wrong. And then I said to him, I said, besides that, I don't know how many souls he's won, but I said, secondly, you said I shouldn't have done it over the radio till I had talked to him to his face. I said, I never met Billy Graham face to face, but I met you going down the steps. And you went straight in there and blasted me over the radio. And I said, that's why I'm here face to face today. Amen. You know what he said? He said, you're right. I was wrong. And I appreciate him doing it. Amen. I don't appreciate him. I appreciate him admitting. Amen. That if he's going to hold that standard to me, he needs to live by that standard. Amen. Well, Paul never wrote a letter in the Bible that I know of that he didn't name somebody that was in the wrong. Amen. Of course, he also recognizes those that are doing it right, and I thank God for that as well. Amen. 2 Peter, I'm trying to get there. All right, verse number 1 of chapter 2. Peter says, and this under the inspiration of the Lord, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. He said, these guys are coming in saying, you don't have to submit to the Lordship of Christ. They're denying the Lord that bought them. They say you don't even have to like the Lord. He would like to be your Lord, but you don't have to allow him to be your Lord. He doesn't require it. But Peter goes on to say these are damnable heresies. You know what that means? This is not trivial. This is eternal salvation or destruction in the balance. Heresies, he said, they're marked for swift destruction. Look at verses 2 and 3. He goes on describing these false prophets and their false promises. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. And well, they are. Many, many on that broad way. Many that go in thereat. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth, that's the narrow way, shall be evil spoken of. It's too narrow. Amen. They're too strict. They're too stringent. That's what they're going to say about us. Verse 3. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Boy, he's not mincing words, is he? He said, this crowd's headed to destruction. They're not going to get out of it. Verse number 12. Jump down there if you will. Verse number 12. I'll just read several verses. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. They don't understand repentance of sin, because they've never repented. Therefore they speak evil of it. Verse 13. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to write in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices. Cursed children, which have forsaken the right way, that's the narrow way, and are gone astray, that's the broad way, following the way of Balaam. Balaam wasn't on the narrow way. Balaam was on the broad way.
Balaam the son of Bozer, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are whales without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error, while they promise them liberty. Oh, just do as you please. They themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Lord before Savior, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Amen. I notice that he says these men are beastly. They got a beastly nature, and refers to them as dogs and swine, just what our Lord had referred to in this same Sermon on the Mount, that have returned, by the way, to their own vomit. They're going their own way, and they've returned to their own vomit. And they may have been washed from their filth, but they've returned back to wallowing in the mire. Amen. By the way, that does not mean these folks have lost their salvation. It means they never were saved. Never was a sheep. Might have had sheep's clothing. Never was a sheep. Amen. They still have the nature of the beast within them. These are the very people Christ warns us about giving that which is holy unto. About casting our pearls before. Amen. Amen. They only twist the promises of God. They don't obey God's commands. They only twist God's word. They snub their nose at such requirements. They want liberty. They want the broad way. And the broad way is wide enough to allow you to continue wallowing in your mire. The broad way is wide enough to allow you to return to your vomit and stay on the broad way. That's what he's saying. I believe that's right. Amen. And then I mentioned to you that John warns it. I won't turn there because we just recently looked at it. 1 John 4:1. John says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. For there are many false prophets that are going out into the world." Amen. Amen. I'm winding her down with these thoughts. This is not a shouting message, but it is an informative message that will help us get the mind of Christ and get the vision that Christ has set for us, I believe. Amen. One commentator said this, I believe it's right. He said, "Satan has found that he can work far more effectively by counterfeiting the truth than by openly denying it." Hence, every age, false prophets have abounded, and therefore we should be neither surprised nor stumbled by their number or the success in our own day. Amen. Our Lord's warning, here's the warning, beware of false prophets. It fits our day. It fits our day. I named one group, and they're our group, if I could say it that way. They are fundamental, independent, King James only, all that, Baptists. Our Lord's saying, by that thing about them being wolves in sheep's clothing, you can't always go by the shingle they're wearing. You can't always go by the badge they're wearing. You can't always go by even the Bible they're carrying. I'll say carrying, because it's a difference to carry it and use it. You can go by the Bible they're using if it's King James Bible. David Koresh had memorized many chapters in the King James Bible. And yet he lived a life of a cultist and lived in the occult. He did. Amen. Well, our Lord's saying, beware of false prophets. It fits. Although there are not prophets, per se, in the strict and technical sense of the term in our day, But he's warning us against those who portray themselves as speaking on behalf of God. And yet he's saying, be careful to gauge it by what God has already said. God's not going to come out with a new plan and a new way of doing things. Amen. So they're preaching error. They're subverting the doctrine that's according to godliness, as 1 Timothy talks about. They have fruit. Our Lord's going to talk about that in a minute. But it's not the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the right kind of fruit. The chief identifying mark of these false prophets, you go back to the Old Testament, you can see them today, is that they prophesy peace, peace, when there is no peace. They soothe people in their sins. They daub them with untempered mortar. They heal slightly the wounds of sinners. They prophesy smooth things. Amen. Inventing easy ways to heaven. Pandering to the corrupt nature of men. Amen. Rather than calling men to repentance. Amen. In their preaching and in their presenting of the gospel, there's nothing that smites the conscience, that pricks the heart of the sinner. They can just go right along. Amen. Nothing that humbles them. Nothing that causes the hearers to mourn after God or seek after that, strive to enter in that straight gate. There's nothing. But rather it puffs them up, makes them pleased with themselves, and allows them to rest content in their sins. Amen. The general characteristics of the false prophets that we find in the Bible and see in the Scriptures is that they make vital godliness less strict. God's not really that stringent, they say. By the way, I'll say this. God's not a bully, and I almost picked that fiddle up and used it like a baseball bat. God's not a bully, and I won't. But God's not a bully that's got a baseball bat in his hand just hoping to knock somebody in the head. No. God's a loving Father, to be honest with you, that's got his arms reached out longing to love somebody. Really. But he's a holy God. You remember when you was a kid, ever out playing in, for example, playing in the mud hole and maybe making mud pies or just having a good time splashing mud? I mean, pretending you was a hog and just stomping around in it and enjoying yourself. And you came in the house and you say, Mama, I want a cookie. You know what she's going to say? Not till you wash your hands. Now she loves you. And she probably wants you to have a cookie. I hope. But not with dirty hands. Because that wouldn't be good for you. She's got some rules and some requirements. And matter of fact, she's going to say, don't tromp that mud all the way into the bathroom either. Amen. Amen. But here's our Lord. Our Lord's, He's glad to save folk. He's glad to forgive folk. He does love folk. He's not going to hand you His holy things with your dirty hands. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Isn't that what Isaiah 1:18 says? Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be white as snow. But here's what it said. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. That's the next verse. And purify your heart, ye double-minded. Amen. You got to come to God. How do you get your hands cleansed? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. They belittle the strictness of the gospel. They make it easier than it actually is. They make it agreeable to fallen human nature. And they encourage the unregenerate to be satisfied with something that falls short of the grace of God that brings salvation and that teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. They say that's not grace. That's commandments. According to the King James Bible, that's grace that teaches us those things. Amen. Well, can I say all this crowd that's promoting that, they're preaching something different than what our Lord preached. They're preaching something different than what the apostles of our Lord preached. Amen. I'm going to stop my message there. But I guess I ought to conclude with this thought. I've got a couple of thoughts. One, who or what are you trusting for salvation? That is a vitally important question.
Amen.
Amen. One of the things, let me say it. I want to be very careful because I don't want it to come across that I'm against trying to lead people to Christ. They need to be led to Christ. We need to have a burden. And it's not that I'm against that. But I'm against us taking it out of God's hands and thinking we've got the ability to get them there.
Right.
One of the things that bothers me about a lot of this soul winning stuff is that at the end of it, is they tell you, now be sure and give them assurance. Whether they feel it, whether they believe it or not, you give them assurance, they ought never to doubt it. Can I tell you, my assurance don't come from a man.
Right.
Amen. 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 My assurance don't come. Let me give you my personal testimony real quick. I won't go through the long story of it. I'll give you a short version. I got saved. I was 8 years old, a little kid. A lot of things I didn't understand. Amen. I didn't know what the word repentance meant. I didn't know what the word fornication meant. I didn't know what a lot, but I knew I was a sinner, and I knew I needed God. Amen. And I went forward that Sunday morning. I asked the preacher, would he tell me how I could be saved? And he just quoted to me John 3:16. He didn't open his Bible, but he quoted to me John 3:16. Asked me if I believed that Christ died for me, if I would ask Him that He'd save me. I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, then try it and see. And that's what I did. I tasted and found that the Lord is gracious. Amen. I asked Him to save me. He said, but here's what I was going to say. That preacher, just a few years after that, left his wife. That preacher left the ministry. That preacher got out into sin. You think I didn't wonder? But that preacher didn't put me on the narrow way. Matter of fact, I wasn't, in a sense, I was trusting what the preacher said, but it wasn't the preacher saying it that made the power. It was the fact that the Word of God said it. Amen. The Word of God said it. And you better get your assurance from the Word of God and the Spirit of God on the inside. Amen. Not some man propping you up. Amen. Though they mean well. And thank God. And by the way, I want you to have assurance. But the only way you can really have assurance is come face to face with God and deal with your sin and know there's a point where God made it all right. Amen.
Amen.
That's where we got to get to. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed. While you're coming, I'll say this. Men may be wrong. Even good men can be wrong. But the Bible is never wrong. Amen. The warning of our Lord Jesus Christ, beware of false prophets, was not meant to tell you that you shouldn't follow teachers or preachers. But it was meant that you should follow them in your Bible, and you should get in your Bible, and you should get the Bible in you, so you know truth when you hear it. And you know a counterfeit when you hear it. Father, I thank You for the Word of God. I thank You, Lord, for the truth. Although what I preach today is not exciting. It grieves me. Even have to deal with it, but it must be dealt with. And it must be dealt with consistently in the day we're living in. Because people are trusting such foolishness. They're trusting something, as Israel did when they trusted Egypt. You said it was a bruised reed, and when it broke, it would go through their hand. In other words, it's going to hurt them. It's not going to help them. It's not going to hold them up, and it's not going to help them. Lord, I pray, bring people to Christ. Lord, I pray, point them not to trust in man, not to trust in words of man, even their own words, but to trust in Christ, to cleave to Christ, to recognize You as Lord and Savior, to be changed from the beast that they were to a new creature in Christ Jesus. Though a babe, though one that stumbles, yet a new creature in Christ Jesus. Have your way, Lord, we pray in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing. If the Lord spoke to you, you obey the Lord while we sing. Amen.